Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's. Archie's, the official chicken wing of the Fan. Archie's, the home of 60-cent wings Monday through Thursday. Archie's there at 5 o'clock every night. You can get great Archie's wings to go, obviously. Archie's also, he has kept the wing special, the 60-cent wing special. He has kept that intact Monday through Thursday, even though they're doing takeout only. So get down to Archie's and, you know, support all of those businesses, those smaller businesses, those bars and restaurants in your neighborhood and things. As we go through this, you know, we've talked about a lot of sports that have been canceled, postponed, whatever. And here's the other thing. We really, really, really also are missing golf. And I tell you this much right now. Today is the kind of day that a lot of us would have blown off the afternoon and gone find a course to at least get in nine. But anyway, anytime we talk about golf, we go to our good friend Joe Ludnowski, who's the host of the PA Sports Midday on the Pennsylvania Sports Network. Joe, you live on a golf course, if I'm not mistaken. What are you actually doing to pass the time, and how do you pass the temptation to go over there and hit a few?
I may or may not have broken the law a time or two, but I will not comment any further than that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, what do you do then? You know, do you have you been able to at least swing the club a little bit in your backyard and or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, we played a couple of times. You know, a couple of times. It's been a pretty good spring, but you know, obviously now you're not gonna. There's nowhere that's actually open. I mean, if you need pins or whatever, you're pretty hard pressed to find them. But you know, I got a pin in my backyard, do some chipping there. But this isn't fun, Paul. That's for sure.
Yeah, it isn't, and I think you know we're all trying to figure out you know how to go through all those things and. I for the life of me, I'm still wondering, you know, why we can't golf, but forget about that. Let's talk about the PGA Tour. It's funny, all of those smaller tournaments, you know, that guys like you and I love, but, you know, a lot of other, you know, people only watch the majors maybe don't love. Boy, I would give anything for, you know, any of those tournaments that have been canceled. Not name the Masters. I'd give anything to be, you know, have just finished watching round one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd be curious to see because, again, I don't, you know, unless this is, you know, really, really underestimated in terms of, like, what could potentially happen, I don't think that we are going to be in standstill for, you know, months and months. I really don't think that, but maybe that's being optimistic. And I think golf is one. If you remember last year, or was it 2 years ago, the Tiger and Phil, you know, it would be, you know, if they did, you know, let's say like Ricky and Justin Thomas did a made for TV and it was all for charity. And, you know, I think something like that could happen in the next couple of weeks. But as for the major schedule, you know, the one thing that makes the Masters so special, and I think a lot of people, you know, don't really, you know, contextualize it, is the fact that it's in April after the Final Four, and it's basically a standalone and has no real competition. And, you know, that's the thing that is so interesting about, you know, Augusta is that it's not open in the summer. And, you know, I had Will Gray on my show the other day, and we were Will Gray, the Golf Channel, we were talking about it. And, you know, if they move it to October, you know, it won't be the beautiful Augusta, because October and April are very different months in terms of what plants look like. And then the other aspect of it is that then it's not a standalone event. And where's it on TV? Because, yes, it is the Masters, but it's still not college football or the NFL. And then the other aspect of this, which I didn't even really think about, but Will brought this up, and this is certainly something to think about. If they do play it in October, well, the champ only gets to be the champ for a couple of months, because they're going to play it again in April. And, you know, the whole element of, you know, part of the aura of the green jacket is that, you know, you get to do the TV tour and, you know, you're on the late night shows, the morning shows, SportsCenter, donning the green jacket. And, you know, the winner would not get to have that opportunity because the calendar might not allow it. There's a lot of moving parts here. You know, now that the Olympics are canceled, that's an open weekend. But again, I think hopefully we could just get back to normal, or some sense of normalcy, get some business going. And then I think the entrepreneurial athletic spirit will come back pretty quickly.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people don't realize that the Augusta closes, you know, for the summer. I, for one, have heard some different things about the grass and the way that it grows, and that the course plays differently in the fall than it does in the spring. Do you know anything about that? Can you speak to that?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the grass, the green complexes would be, you know, is probably the most mystique of, you know, of the golf course, or maybe the mystique of the green complexes, I should say, are sort of what makes the golf course. And yes, they absolutely would play differently just based on the season. And, you know, grass grows at a different rate, and the beauty of the golf course would certainly be very different. But yes, they shut it down. It is not open in the summer, that hot Georgia. You know, basically everything that you do, everything that we do to a golf course, to the grass is really taxed by any heat. And of course, you know, let's be honest, grass is not meant to be mowed as tightly as that is. And then you put in the heat, it would certainly die. And again, that was part of the aura of Augusta, is the appearance of it on television. And it is the spring has sprung sort of feel that would certainly not be there in October.
Yep, absolutely, and I guess the PGA Championship is another one they're probably going to be, you know, they're trying to they've postponed, or whatever you want to call it. They're trying to move somewhere. I just don't know if it's realistic unless you're going to cancel some other events and you know what I mean, in order to make room. I just don't see a lot of places on the calendar if you're going to try and squeeze all this stuff in.
Yeah, but the one element of that, Paul, that you sort of have to take into consideration with all of the events that will have been canceled, you know, maybe they find a way to sort of tiptoe and alter the FedEx, because the FedEx Cup will not be the same. So basically missing all of these events, you know, the Florida Tour right now, not having two majors, I'd be surprised. Just logistically, if they, you know, did not see postponement also of the U.S. Open. But, you know, remember, you know, the U.S. Open and the PGA are in metro areas. So, and that's been the hardest hit on the map. So, again, we can't really know. But I do think, though, that the one thing that we sort of should take into consideration, and maybe with a grain of salt, you know, much like, you know, Neil Huntington would always go to the podium, or any GM would say, yeah, I think we're going to win the World Series. And, you know, everyone's like, well, no, you're terrible. That's awful. No, you're not. But, you know, imagine if that GM had gone to the podium and like, yeah, if you thought we stunk last year, you ain't seen nothing yet. So as long as these organizations, whether it's the President of the United States or the, you know, Jay Monahan or Roger Goodell or Adam Silver, as long as these people are giving us hope in terms of a date, I think that's going to be the best. I don't know why, you know, I heard Adam Silver say, you know, maybe we're looking at a July return. Well, you know, as quickly as this thing arose in the course of 2 weeks, what's to say that it can't be, it won't dissipate or be addressed in the course of 2 or 3 weeks? So I really wish that we would stop putting these finite dates with the approach. I mean, we all play to win the game. I mean, nobody decides to lose. So I think that as long as we continue to postpone, and there's really smart people that are going to be able to do some things, and hopefully we can get this deal under control and get back to sports, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, one thing I've heard some people float out there is the possibility of moving the U.S. Open, not just the date, but to a different course. And, of course, there have been some speculation that maybe it could be Oakmont. It's not really feasible and realistic to move a major to a different course, right? I mean, it takes so long to get a course ready for a major, and the USGA has to do so many different things and all the other things that come along with planning a major. It's not really feasible, is it?
Well, I mean, anything's possible, and, you know, these, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. You know, just because that's the way it's always been done doesn't make it right. I think anybody with any, you know, common sense would know that if there was a way, the PGA Tour would certainly try to find it, right? I don't think that the restraint of moving it, you know, would be, oh, well, never mind, we just forget about it, we'll wait till next year. I think if that is the best the most plausible course of action, I think that would be taken. And to your point about Oakmont, I mean, you know, those crazy people, they really like 3 and 4 putting greens all the time. I know that those things are always, always very close to being, PGA or U.S. Open, USGA ready. And, you know, that would be pretty cool. It was just there. Obviously the rough, as rainy as it's been in the spring, I don't know how much, obviously most of these places are closed. But hopefully, you know, sooner than later, we can get something figured out here, because I agree with you. This is awful.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that there's a lot of different pieces to this. Now, Joe, what would you say to the person who says, and I actually might be one of these people, that why in a couple of weeks couldn't the PGA figure out a way to play an event without any fans? Like, if you could bring the golfers, you know, most of them fly in private jets anyway, so you're keeping them out of commercial airplanes. You bring them to a place and you basically buy out an entire hotel, which many hotels are closed, so you could control who comes in and out of the hotel. And these guys walk by themselves. You could test every one of them, you know what I mean, before they get to check into the hotel or whatever. I mean, why is that not feasible?
Listen, I'm not arguing with you, but I think the one thing that what we don't take into consideration is that, you know, yes, for us, we can just go play golf. For those guys at a PGA Tour level, and for many of them, it's not just that simple. In terms of, you know, these guys would, I mean, you hear them complain about course conditions when they're, you know, the best courses we've ever seen, and they complain about them. You know, the thing is the logistics of having a PGA Tour event. Now, if these guys are all going to sign off and say that, hey, these are abnormal times and we're going to play an abnormal type property, that's just what it is. But I don't know if you've ever noticed when they do, in fact, have the PGA Tour event at a place, there are fleets of fairway mowers. I mean, the amount of grounds crew alone is probably over 1,000 people. And then you have all of the managers and the PR people and the strength coaches, the swing coach. So, I mean, I'm with you, man. You and I could – I don't understand why you and I can't go out and beat it around for 9 holes right now anyway. That, to me, doesn't make any sense. But I don't know if – you know, we're looking at golf from our perspective. not from a PGA Tour event perspective. So I think you probably have to get the players to sign off if in fact you were going to, you know, put a cap on the number of people in terms of being allowed to be a participant in the event. And when I mean be a participant, I don't mean be a player. I mean work the event.
Yeah, no, I guess that is, you know, that is a, something that is needs to be taken into consideration is the fact that there are a lot of people who work the event. Last one I have for you, Joe, is are you able to play in Ohio? I know as of like a few days ago that some of the courses over there were still open. Do you know if that's still the case or have they all been shut too?
I believe I know a group of guys that I play with were headed there today. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the harm would be. I mean, I know that there was a place in Erie that, you know, had raised cups. So as soon as your ball hit the cup, it was deemed in, and then nobody had to touch. You know, the exercise element of it is walking. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, you've played enough golf that, you know, unless you play with guys that are really good, most of the time you are social distancing naturally because someone's in the left rough, someone's in the right rough, and maybe somebody's fortunate enough to be in the fairway. But I certainly hope that hopefully we can get back to some sort of normalcy here sooner than later.
No, there's no question. Joe, I appreciate it as always, and hopefully we'll be out on the course sooner rather than later.
Thanks, Paul. Anytime, brother.
All right, that's Joe Lednoski from PA Sports Network. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. We're brought to you by Solomon Auto Group. 412-928-9370 is the number. That's also the number of the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We just heard our good friend Joe Lednoski from the Pennsylvania Sports Network on. He's our golf expert. He's a guy who does a lot of work with golf. He's a guy that has covered golf. He's legitimately really, really a great golf mind in many ways, so we love to have him on. You know, the one thing that he said that I completely agree, and this is one of the things that I, you know, sort of want to get into a little bit here, is I know, you know, today and I guess a couple of the days over the last few weeks, man, or at least over the last week or so, but especially like a day like today, I couldn't have been the only person who wanted to go out and hit the ball around a little bit. And, you know, I understand we're in a lockdown and everyone has to sacrifice and all that other stuff. But I wonder, when you look at what they can do on a golf course to make it safe for everybody else, I wonder why golf is been basically the golf courses are closed. I've talked to a number of people that own golf courses, that play golf. I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do. As you heard Joe, they were talking about, I guess, in Ohio, some of the courses. Basically, they take all the flag sticks out so that nobody's grabbing the same flag stick. You know, that nobody's grabbing that and you're not passing your hand off to the next guy's hand. There is a, little, sort of like a little inverted cup type thing that they put over the hole. So basically, if you putt it, you hit the cup thing. Nobody has to pick up your ball for you. So there's that. They take all the rakes away from the sand traps. And if they take all the rakes away from the sand traps, nobody is grabbing the rakes and all that other stuff. And then the last thing they do is have twosomes instead of foursomes. and, you know, everybody rides in their own cart. And at the end of your, you know, round, they wash the cart down really good. So I just wonder, you know, if we're going to make it through all this stuff, some of these things have to be revisited. And I know the Western PA Golf Association went to the governor and said, hey, is there any way we can get a waiver for this, you know, shutdown? And I guess they were turned down. And there probably are some reasons for being turned down, but my point is, you know, you've got a bunch of people that are really doing a lot of different things, and there's a lot of businesses that are hurting and this and that and the other thing. I don't know, and I wonder what the wisdom is in, you know, if we can't figure out a way to keep some things open. I just feel like golf is one of those things where you're outdoors. You're not indoors. You don't have to be around a lot of people. You close the clubhouse. And if you really want to get to a point where there's no contact, you close the clubhouse and you basically say, in order to play, you have to pay online before you get there. So now there's not even anybody there to collect money, and which, you know, you could do. If you have a debit card, if you have a credit card or whatever, I mean, that's how we do things anymore. And so, you basically pay online, you get a number, whatever your number, you know, a receipt or whatever, and a tee time, and you show up, and I don't know, there's a little thing, a barcode that you scan, and you scan it, and there's a guy standing, you know, 50 feet away that can see when you scan it, it puts a little green light or something. I mean, there's got to be ways that we can figure this out where you can open some businesses. But to me, you know, the Western PA Golf Association going to the governor and, you know, proposing some of these things, I get it. Golf is, oh, you know, there's more. This is what you get all the time when you're in sports. There are more important things in the world than you wanting to go golf. And you know what? I always counter that with people that own golf courses are business owners. So it's more than just people want to play golf or go recreationally do so. These are businesses that are basically, along with a lot of other businesses, really struggling. So, you know, if we can figure out a way to help them out, that's what we should be trying to do here. And I think that's the most frustrating thing about it, is I feel like there are some really good plans in place so that you could be safe and still golf. I mean, you know, I drove through North Park the other day when it was nice out. There was people on top of people on top of people walking and running and riding bikes. And, you know, even some people, you know, playing like Frisbee and stuff in one of the, you know, main areas. And it's like, how is that? How is that safer than golfing when, you know, if you really wanted to do it, you could basically separate people by saying you can't play in foursomes or threesomes, only one person per cart. You're outdoors. You separate the foursomes by like 10, 12, 14 minutes so nobody's on the same tee at any time. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to keep people away from each other and yet still, A, give people something to do, and B, give these businesses a little bit of a lifeline. So, you know, when I've talked to some people that own golf courses, they say, listen, we could make it so that you never touch anything. You know, we close the clubhouse, number one, so there's no, you know, going in and getting those six pack or going in and getting beer or going in and getting whatever. We close the clubhouse, number one. Number two, we scrub down every cart after every round. And number three, we don't allow foursomes. You have twosomes. To me, that seems reasonable. And what I hope is that over the course of time here, as we go through this and we deal with the severity of this and all of the things that come with it, I hope that at some point we start to try and find ways to get back to a little bit of normalcy and provide some, you know, semblance of, you know, a normal life and give people something to look forward to get outside and to do some things. And again, I am not sitting here, you know, saying golfing is the most important activity in the world. I get it. There's a lot of other things that are more important. I get it. I mean, during this time, you know, one of the things I'm really getting tired of are lectures from people, you know, who act like if you're not 100% all in, you know, thinking about all of the severity of everything that's going on, that somehow you're not taking it seriously. Look, we're the sports department. And so I am taking it very seriously. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do in terms of social distancing. I'm talking about in the small little area of here's an activity that I think you could do and you could pull off and you could help a business stay, you know, stay open, but you could also give some people who like to golf an opportunity just to get out of the house a little bit and do something. So, I know there are reasons why the Western PA Golf Association was turned down for their request, but I just don't really think that they thought it through completely in terms of, you know, if there were ways to make this work. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. It's 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I am Paul Zeiss. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. Also, the Fan Hotline is brought to you by workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. One of the things that is going to come out of this is, you know, the fact that a lot of these teams and sports leagues and things of the such are going to lose a lot of money. And, you know, again, a lot of businesses are going to lose a lot of money, and I think the one thing about sports that they have as an advantage over others is that they will bounce back. I mean, the NBA, the NFL, all these things, they will bounce back. But, nevertheless, you know, you're starting to see some signs that teams are, you know, trying to cut costs as much as they can. We've seen some teams actually reduce the salary a little bit of some of their executives. We've seen actually some, you know, teams sort of, you know, cut the salaries of, the, you know, the people that work in the offices and all of that other stuff. I mean, there's a lot of ways that teams are trying to just survive right now, or, you know, whatever you want to say. I was reading somewhere today where I think baseball is talking about maybe, you know, having a drop dead date where, you know, a lot of employees throughout the league either get laid off or take a pay cut. And the reason that it's league wide is because they're trying to basically, remove the pressure from these owners. You know, if it's a league-wide decision, you know, the owners in their individual cities probably won't take nearly as much hell as they would. I mean, could you imagine if Bob Nutting announced that he was going to cut the, you know, salaries of, you know, 25 or 30 Pirates employees or something? I mean, so I've read that, but here we have kind of the first idea of what it's probably going to cost in terms of the NCAA. And, you know, they're talking about basically this. In general, the NCAA, you know, distributes money to the Division I schools at the end of every year, you know, and it's all the it's a bunch of money that's, you know, divided up and all the other stuff. You know, the NCAA tournament, if you get, you know, if you've got football and basketball, you get a little bit more in your leagues and all this other stuff. The NCAA usually, I mean, was going, you know, was on target to distribute about $600 million. And instead, they're going to distribute $225 million. It's a quite a significant difference. $375 million is what the difference is there, if my math is correct. Actually, my math is, yes, correct. $375 million difference. Now, what does that mean in terms of raw money, in raw terms? Well, basically, if you boil it down for a team like, or for a school like Pitt, it's probably going to be about $2 million. And that doesn't include what they lost in revenue from the ACC tournament being canceled, and, you know, a couple of other things being canceled in terms of from the ACC. So for a school like Pitt, you know, this could be one of those things when you add in, you know, a number of other things at the gate. I mean, you could be talking about a school like Pitt losing $4 to $5 million out of their budget, which is a significant piece. I mean, you know, back in the old day, that was, you know, when they were in the Big East, that would have been absolutely devastating because it was more than they are actually getting from the Big East. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a pretty big chunk of money. And I think that, you're going to see probably some things done differently. A couple things I think you're already seeing done differently. I don't think, I mean, if you were a coach that was on the hot seat, this was the year to stink. Because I think you're going to, you know, and we've already seen a lot of coaches. Notice how we haven't seen a ton of coaches getting fired. Usually, you know, that's the, you know, this is the season where that happens. And, you know, usually right about now we start talking about all the coaching positions and who's moving where and which are the best jobs. There's none of that. There's not hardly any of that going on right now. And I think that's the key, is things like that that we're used to, schools are going to be a little bit different. So, I mean, if you're a basketball coach and you had a bad year, this was the year to have a bad year, because if you have any amount of a buyout, they're not just going to, you know, write the checks to buy guys out. And I think there's some coaches, I can't prove it, but I'd say Jim Christian, you know, from Boston College, they announced he's coming back. I can't help but think that that's financially motivated, that it's one of those, you know, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Danny Manning's coming back too. If I think I read that too. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. Then you're going to see, you know, coaches getting fired like usual. And I think that we'll see a lot of different cost-cutting measures that might even, you know, do, especially if we're in, you know, July, August, September, you know, and we're still involved in, you know, okay, you can't have big crowds together. I mean, if these, you know, if these big-time powerhouse college football programs can't have big crowds, you know, think about Penn State, 110,000 fans. What if they said, listen, you're only allowed to have 5,000 fans in that stadium? I mean, that would be a huge financial hit. And I think that's one of the things that we will start to see over the next 3 or 4 weeks, is that these are going to be the decisions that are going to be made, and they're going to have to find ways to try and save money or as much as they can, just because they're losing, you know, a lot of money. I mean, the NHL and the NBA talking about wanting to play some regular season games and play into July and August, that's all about money. It's really, even, you know, in my mind, I think, you know, it's just kind of interesting how all of these leagues are going to try and figure out how to, you know, navigate through all this stuff. But again, the one thing that sports has that I would say a lot of these other businesses don't have is, you know, that that sports have an opportunity to come back. You know, if the NHL takes a loss this year, you know the NHL will be back next year and, you know, will be strong again. And, you know, the NBA will have, you know, will be strong again next year. You know, the NFL, I mean, Major League Baseball, for everything that we talk about it declining, if you look, the revenues continue to go up. I mean, that's the one thing that will keep them going. So, is the fact that they can come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.